Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What's up, guys? Alex Contreras alongside Tyler Wilson. Welcome to another episode, a Happy New Year, of Marlin's Barbecue. Got a couple ribs on deck, some beef ribs on deck on the grill, a couple brews open, a couple Florida Men's, a couple High Lies, a couple Space Dusk. Tyler, how you doing, man? How you feeling?
I have to think about this. If the Marlins were an actual menu item at a barbecue, what would they be? I got a little bit of take here. I think it'd be bratwurst, okay? You never really want bratwurst at the barbecue, but if it's there, you might like it. It might be the star of the show. The Marlins were the star of the show twice, so I'm going to go with the Marlins would be bratwurst at a barbecue.
Have you ever had blackened Marlin?
No, but I would like to try it.
My guy. Blackened swordfish, same thing, blackened Marlin. It's amazing. I don't like to confess it, but that's one of my favorite go-to plates. Seafood plates, period. Hey, man, real quick, man. Shout out to Tom Brady, the Tampa Bay Bucks Super Bowl champs, seven-time Super Bowl champion Tom Brady. And that gets me thinking, man. It gets you thinking about the GOATs in all the sports. You think about Tom Brady, you think LeBron James, Michael Jordan, Derek Jeter. And that gets me thinking, bro, is there ever going to be a time where the Marlins are going to ever have a guy like that? Are we going to have a guy like that? Maybe a Sixto Sanchez, maybe a Brian Anderson. I mean, come on.
So if I'm going to go with anywhere, I'm going to go with Sixto Sanchez. I think he has the opportunity to be what Jose Fernandez never had the chance to be. So I think Sixto can go down as that Marlin guy because, honestly, in his history, I don't think the Marlins has that one guy just based on how the franchise has always played out. They've never had the franchise guy from start to finish that was a superstar. Is this going to change with the new ownership? Maybe, maybe not. But I don't think it's Brian Anderson because, like I said, I don't think Brian Anderson's might not be on the team forever. So until I even see that extension, to me, he could be like a Jeff Conine. Great, you know, average player. And then he just sticks with the team for a long period of time. But I think Sixto has the potential to be special.
Speaking of Sixto Sanchez, JT Realmuto finally came to terms. Was it 5 years, $115 million with Philadelphia? We're happy that he got his guap. He's turned up. You know what I'm saying? But shout out to that trade, man. If we didn't net that trade, we wouldn't landed a Sixto Sanchez or Jorge Alfaro. Speaking of Alfaro, man, this is a guy that lots of us are expecting a bounce back year. Including the front office. Hey, they want him to produce. They want him to be a steady guy in this Marlins offense. We know he has a cannon of an arm. Is he ready to take the lead and really step up and show that he's worked on his framing and his defense as a Marlins catcher?
This is a tough question because it really comes down to it because, honestly, Jorge Alfaro is really the only thing they got. You're not going to throw Sandy Leon out there for an extended period of time. You're not really going to throw Chad Wallach out there. So you pretty much all your eggs are in the Jorge Alfaro basket. And he's going to strike out a lot. And he's going to be inconsistent. He's going to have good power. It's going to be inconsistent. But I believe in him. And I think the front office believes in him. And with that being said, I think everyone should believe in him. And so proven otherwise. But I think what do you want Jorge Alfaro to be? You know, Jorge Alfaro, is he a budget Gary Sanchez? Or is Gary Sanchez and Jorge Alfaro on the same level? I don't need – Jorge Alfaro just needs to be serviceable. He just needs to not be bad. and everyone else on the team has to be good. So that's what I think, kind of think about Jorge.
I mean, I love the comparisons and thinking Gary Sanchez is a guy that you can compare to Jorge Alfaro, but quite frankly, Jorge hasn't produced the amount of runs or home runs that Gary Sanchez has. You know what I'm saying? We can both agree that they're both below average when it comes to defense, or it could be better when it comes to framing at the plate. Yeah, we can agree on that. You know, right now, would I take a Gary Sanchez or a Jorge Alfaro? I don't know, man. It's a flip of the coin, because really, like, I would love the Gary Sanchez 30 home run, 40 home run pop, but who's to say that Jorge Alfaro can't do that? You know what I'm saying? I want him to turn it up. I would love for him to turn it up, at least hit 20 home runs for this team, work on his framing, and just take the role as a starting catcher, be a leader for this team, and have fans, when we finally come back to the stadium, chance of hip, hip Jorge.
Alfaro, ground ball, banks it up the middle. In comes Monte. It's a Marlins win. Look at Alfaro as he's mobbed by his teammates.
I don't know. I think it'll come and go, but I think really a big loss for this team was Francisco Cervelli. I think it was a major loss just for the pitching staff in general, because he was able to be that leader for them. I don't know if Jorge Alfaro can step up in that place, because I do know that young pitching staff really leaned on Cervelli a lot, just in the mentorship and being able to assist him catching, pitching through the game. So I hope Alfaro learns some things, because he's definitely going to have to show it.
Look, Cervelli, everybody loves Cervelli, man. You know what I'm saying? Francisco came in here, stole everybody's hearts, did his thing. But you know what I'm saying? He got the concussion that inevitably pushed him into retiring. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to him. He's doing his work covering the Caribbean World Series, the Winter League Baseball League with EVC, Danny Alvarez, and them out in Venezuela. Pretty cool. Mickey Rowe, I know, participated that in as well. But right now we got the guy who's a veteran leader that can come into this with the minor league option is Sandy Leon. You know what I'm saying? We're not expecting Sandy Leon come in here and steal our hearts and take the league by storm. You know what I'm saying? But Sandy's a veteran guy that's going to come in here and just teach these younger guys what it is to do, how to manage a whole pitching rotation. You know what I'm saying? From the bullpen to the rotation period, guys, younger guys, old guys. And I hope that he rubs off on Alfaro and Wallach, you know what I'm saying? Not offensively, but at least defensively.
Yeah, and I have to agree on that, but I don't want all my eggs in Sandy Leon's basket either. Like, let's see, Sandy Leon for his career is a whopping 216 hitter.
Nobody said throw all your eggs in the basket with him. Nobody said that. If you're talking about Francisco Cervelli compared to Sandy Leon, you know what I'm saying? This is basically what they're going to provide hand to hand. You know what I'm saying? Nobody was expecting Cervelli to come over here and provide what he did, and yet again he came in here and did what he did. Like, he made an impact. So whatever Leon gives you, great, and if he doesn't give you anything, great too. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's a whole different, like, perspective from last year. Like, it was a 60 game stretch. Like, anything could have happened. We're going back to 162 games. You know what I'm saying? We're going back to having minor league baseball. So a lot of these guys are going to go back to minor league affiliates.
Yeah, and this is true. And Leon, I guess, has some value. I don't know if it'll ever lead into anything. I'm curious. I'll ask the pitchers whenever they report. I'll be like, hey, what do you think about Sandy? And I'm really excited to get an honest opinion on them, because whenever Cervelli was there, it was in spring training. It was very – everybody was like, Cervelli's really good. So, hey, you know, I'll give Sandy Leon a chance. So, but whenever I ask the pitchers, I want to hear what they got to say about Sandy Leon, and I'm curious on what their response is going to be.
Speaking of the pitchers, man, we're going into spring training. We're less than 10 days away. I don't know, what is it, 9, 8, 7? I don't know how many days away now. But I know that we're close to Valentine's Day, and that always means that pitchers and catchers – you know what I'm saying? That battery love. No better time to report. So it gets me thinking about, yo, this rotation. We got Sandy. We got Pablo. We got Lilo Sanchez. We got Sixto. Trevor Rogers. Those names are all cool and everything, but there's not really like a steady guy there that's like, all right, this is a veteran guy that's going to come in here and take 200 innings. You know what I'm saying? Is that a little bit of a concern? Honestly, like, I would love the Marlins to go out there and finish, like, in second and third place. But realistically, just looking at this and the lack of moves and everything that's going on and all the improvements in the NL East, dude, I feel like we're running for fourth place right now.
Are we for sure Sandy Alcantara and Sixto can't get to about 180 to 200 innings?
You're just going to throw 180 at Sixto like that out of nowhere?
Yeah, I think so. Because I don't think they were going to release him. He kind of proved it last year. I think he's good to go. He's ready to run. I do think the chain's off on him. He will run, and they'll give him room, because here's the thing. They kind of have to.
What about Pablo and Lilo Hernandez and Edward Cabrera? And you know what I'm saying?
All right, something's got to get here. We got five starters. Only five starting spots.
And let's – I mean – who says, you know what I'm saying, it's the traditional five-man rotation, but baseball's evolving. Who says we can't go out there and have a six-man rotation?
I think this roster would be the best way to do it. I think this is the kind of roster where you need to go six. And I honestly, would you be surprised if they traded one of the starting pitchers this year for more depth? It wouldn't surprise me at all, and I think it's something that the team actually needs to do, because you got a lot more pitchers that are actually on the cusp of breaking out or breaking into the roster, which we kind of got to have room for. You can have all the talent in the world, but if you don't let it play, then you never actually see the talent.
Yeah, a lot of interesting gaps or blocks at certain positions. Speaking of that, Major League Baseball and the Players Association came to terms towards this new season. They agreed on the extra innings rule with the runner on second base. They agreed on the double headers being seven innings, but however, they didn't agree on the universal DH. How is that affecting our Miami Marlins? We got a little block now at first base between Jesus Aguilar, Gary Cooper, and Lewin Diaz. What the hell are we gonna do, Tyler?
Punt. Like, I don't think there's really anything you can do. It's an extremely rough situation, because not only is it a logjam, honestly, at first, it's a logjam in the corners out of the outfield. You know, like, at some point, we got to also see these outfielders coming up. I'm really excited. I'm so excited to see the Lewis Brinson, Monte Harrison experience again, but I'm not. I'd like to see something else. You got Corey Dickerson always going to be there in left. And so we got to see these outfielders eventually play. I think Bodet can honestly push for a start at around September time. But we got to see these players play. We got to see these young outfielders. We got to see what they got. I mean, I'm not excited to see these players. Honestly, I need first base to get opened up. I need the DH to be opened up. And we got to let these outfielders try and get through.
Who do you think, in your opinion, is the best team so far in the NL East? All the improvements made. Is it the Mets, the Phillies, the Braves, the Nats?
I think the Braves win the East. I think the Nationals are the best team in the East. That would be my bet.
So you think the Nats are going to win it this year?
I do think the Braves will win the East, but I think that the Nationals have more of a chance to actually do damage in the playoffs. I think the Nationals are the better team designed for the playoffs, and I think the Braves will do their traditional, hey, we did really great in the regular season, and we're out of the playoffs.
So give me your standings, final standings.
Braves, Nationals, Mets, Phillies, Marlins.
There you have it, Tyler Wilson. Ladies and gentlemen, Tyler Wilson coming in to throw water on the barbecue.
You ready for this? I also said they were last place last year. So
keep going with that, man. What was it? Max from ESPN said that Tom Brady was done years ago, and look at him now.
Yeah, I just don't know if this team can compete. That's my big problem with the Marlins right now. They're not poised. They're doing exactly what I want them to do, and I think they're doing exactly what they should be doing. And exactly what they should be doing is very, very simple. All of these teams in the East are spending. The Marlins just aren't in position right now to win. So I kind of like what they're doing. They're laying low. They're letting the talent come through. They're starting to see where the talent's at. They're going to see where the holes are, and they're going to spend to fix the holes. So they're doing exactly what I want them to do, just because I don't think they can compete right now in the East this year. And honestly, probably not next year, but maybe the year after when everything's kind of there.
All right, Daniel Del Vivo here with us at Marlins Barbecue alongside Tyler Wilson riding the fire. Danny, how are you feeling about these Marlins movements or lack of movements in the free agency market?
Let's see. So I'm not in either of the extremes. I'm not in the, hey, we're fine, you know, prospects, that's enough. And with that, we're going to be amazing and win the NL East. I'm not there, but I'm also not in the, you know, we're back to Loria times, which is what a lot of people are kind of, you know, getting to, you know, like everything is, you know, we're screwed. And everything is grim. We're broke, and we're not going to do anything. It's going to be last place. That's not me either. I do feel like we have a better team than when we started last season, and our kids are developing. So there is things coming up. There are things coming up, and I do believe that there is going to be more addition to this team. I don't think they're done.
What's the addition?
What's the addition? I think two more, a bullpen and a bat, one. I do believe so. I saw the Kimang interview as you know, GM move. I didn't see it as throwing out excuses. I saw it as, hey, let's get some leverage for our negotiations. Because since the beginning of the off season, she's been saying that expect trades, and you know, we knew they weren't going to break the bank or anything like that, but they were going to do things, you know, Bass and two rule fives. That's not how we're going to go into the season. I don't think so. Maybe, but you know, if you ask me, I don't believe so. What are you guys' thoughts on it? Did you already discuss it?
Well, basically, like, I look at it, man, and like, I feel like, yeah, Kim Angs came in here and she's done a couple moves. She signed Bass to a 2-year contract. We got traded for Federico Polanco after the Yamamoto trade. But like really like that, we haven't had names like, wow, that have been, our minds have been blown away. Like as Marlins fans, I don't mind it either. You know what I'm saying? I know that there's a plan that we got to stick to it, and we got to kind of like be smart about investing into players in the free agency market. You know what I'm saying? If anybody taught us that, it was Loria. You know what I'm saying? Like, we gave this terrible contract to Wei-Yin Chang, and that's the last thing that we want to do now. You know what I'm saying? We're a small market team, and we got to be smart and knowledgeable about who we invest into it. That being said, like, I feel like the Marlins low-key backtracked, and they're backpedaling now on what they said against Brian Anderson. You know what I'm saying? They're getting Brian Anderson's agents mad. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, Brian Anderson's a professional player, and he's going to go about his business, but he's a guy that needs to get paid his money. You know what I'm saying? I think that, yeah, he needs to get paid his money, but at the same time, I don't want to like bet the whole entire house on him. And I don't also want to bet the whole entire house on somebody in the free agency market. Also, like, that gets me like so conflicted, because like, you look at MLB and all the rosters and all the salaries that they have across baseball. It's like, dude, look, what the hell are the LA Dodgers? What's their payroll right now? It's like over 230 million. The Marlins are at like 50 million. Broward just signed for like 40 million, you know what I'm saying, on an annual average. So it's like, dude, and like, we thought we had it bad. The Pittsburgh Pirates, their freaking roster is under $30 million. So how crazy is that? If we think we got it bad or other fans got it bad, like, damn, think about those damn Pirates. You know what I'm saying? Like, what the hell is MLB doing? Like, they need to like really resolve this problem, because this is really becoming a conflict.
I don't know if you saw my tweet, but Trevor Bauer actually makes more than the Pirates and the Indians, and I think one other team combined.
Yeah, we're fourth. We're fourth. We're like 5 million above Bauer.
Yeah.
I hear you. You know, I absolutely understand where you're coming from. And I do understand people that are exaggerating, and there are, you know, mad right now, because 2021, you know, we started this rebuild in 2018. 2021 was when we were supposed to invest, right? Hey, we're going to start the rebuild. Just gonna bring in, you know, kids. That's happened. We have a top five farm system. That's a given. But this was the year where we were supposed to, okay, let's bring somebody cool in, you know, like not a crazy big contract, but something interesting. You know, we're not even going for the 3, 4, 5 million guys. So I do understand. But on the other hand, we need to understand. I mean, some owners were hit harder than others on the pandemic. You know, it's happening. There's no revenue in terms of attendance and all that good stuff. I believe even one of their biggest revenue streams, which is the what's it called? The shared profit. I remember what the exact word is. But that one's also stopped, I believe, at least for last year. So it's a problem. It's an issue. I do feel like they're not in the best place financially, but I hope that, you know, during this year we can, you know, they can get back, you know, to the black and really start adding more to the prospects. It's just the prospects. Only the prospects is not going to be enough.
Well, who did you want to see? That's what I'm curious. Like, who do people want to see?
Well, I know people were talking about a Lindor. They wanted to trade for Lindor. I think that's too much. It's premature.
Agreed. I mean, that's, you know, with a Lindor, if you're going to trade your prospects for a Lindor, you're going to have a plan to re-sign him.
What about a Wilson Contreras?
Wilson Contreras would have been amazing. But, I mean, John Heyman's out there putting tweets that his $6 million would be too much for the Marlins. You know, I mean, I couldn't believe it when I read it, but now it's, you know, it's, maybe it's true. I don't know. I don't think so, but it's kind of what they've been showing us. As I said, I believe that they're going to sign, trade for a couple more pieces, but yeah, Contreras would be amazing. That'd be exactly what we needed, because it's not just the offense. It's the defense and it's the receiving for the pitchers. So yeah, Contreras would be the ideal solution, I think.
Man, I think this whole corona, the pandemic that we're living in, really like set us back, set everybody back, like the whole world back, obviously. You know what I'm saying? Because we all had to slightly take a couple steps back before we can really move forward as a whole planet. That being said, man, I really hope that the Marlins can really get it together. Like, that at the end of the day, like, trying to stay positive. Like, it's not a bad thing that we didn't do anything, really. You know what I'm saying? Because if you really look at the team, like you said, like, we got a good team compared to the team we had last year. So we got some depth, and we got to give playing time to these young guys. I mean, Tyler, how do you feel? I mean, you were talking about Monte Harrison, that you're not amped up about Monte. Like, are you not amped up about anybody else in the minor leagues? Like, look at the guys that got invited. Peyton Burdick is a complete stud that I'm excited to see. JJ Bleday is another guy. Connor Scott. You know what I'm saying? So we got guys down there in the minor leagues that have potential, and they just need playing time. You know what I'm saying? If you've already getting ready to throw a towel in on a Lewis Brinson or a Monte Harrison, which I think is premature to throw in the towel on Monte, but that's just me.
Okay, I will say this. I think I was one of the biggest Lewis Brinson supporters last year. Immediately in spring training, I said, this guy's different. He's changed. So it's not that I don't like Lewis Brinson. It's just, it's time's up. Like, we got to see Misner, we got to see Burdick, and I like them both a lot, actually, a lot. And I love Bleday too. So that's three outfielders for pretty much, what, two spots, one spot, really? So, because I also have a big fan of Connor Scott, even though you're not going to see him this year. But it's not that I don't like Monte Harrison. It's just, I don't think Monte Harrison is going to fit. Monte Harrison is just kind of going to be there for a minute, and he's just going to be gone. He's not – no one's going to tell me Monte Harrison's in the long-term plans for the Miami Marlins. Would you be shocked if Monte Harrison was on the Miami Marlins in 2023?
I wouldn't be shocked.
No.
I would be kind of shocked. I don't think he'll be on the Marlins in 2023 at all. I don't think there's any way.
You think they sell low on him, or do you mean like by
sell
release?
Low? I don't think you can sell high. What's
I mean, they get more than a Yamamoto trade or what?
Yeah, it's just going to be one of those, like, hey, here's my 24-year-old, 25-year-old outfielder you're a 19-year-old guy that no one's ever seen before, besides in the backyard, you know, field. Mm. Which, hey, I'm not against that kind of trade because, I mean, Monte Harrison, he's another – I love toolsy guys. Toolsy guys are so much fun to be like, wow, look at all this power. Wow, look at that speed. Toolsy guys, how many of them actually pan out?
Look, man, 10%? I'll tell you what. I'm going to respectfully disagree with you, Tyler. You know what? Because we got guys in the outfield right now that we got a Corey Dickerson, right? He's going to the final year. We got a Sterling Marte going to the final year. Those are a couple guys that you're eventually, either the Marlins are going to decide, what are we going to do with them? Are we going to flip them at the trade deadline, or are we going to let them go for free? I'm thinking the Marlins are going to look into trading them. And when we trade them, you know what I'm saying? That's when you're talking about, all right, I'm going to trade my 30-year-old guy, my 29-year-old, my 27-year-old guy for your 19, 21, 22-year-old guy. And that's what's going to happen with these other guys. So we hopefully that Corey Dickerson can bank out, you know what I'm saying, that Sterling Marte can bank out, and we can get some more prospects. At the end of the day, yeah, you want the Marlins to go and win the whole damn thing, but that's not going to happen. And once these other veterans get traded, that's going to open the lane for these other guys. Who's going to leave first? I'm not going to say who's going to leave first, but like, the terms are like you got other guys, other options that are running out of options on this Marlins team, like a Harold Ramirez, like a Magnerio Sierra, you know what I'm saying? Not just Monte Harrison, Lewis Brinson's another guy. You know what I'm saying? So you got to think about all these other guys that are on before Monte, you know what I'm saying? All the guys below them, they're coming up to the Major League Baseball to compete.
I'll pick one right now. Like, ranking all those people, where do you put Monte Harrison on a franchise importance of keeping?
Out of all the outfield depth, if we said 1 to 7 or 1 to 10 or whatever in outfield depth, I would say Monte would be like a number 5.
Okay. Who's ahead of him?
Well, obviously you got Corey Dickerson, you got Sterling Marte, right? And then you got the competition out. Who's going to be out in center? Is it going to be a Mags? Is it going to be Lewin Brinson? Is it going to be Harold Ramirez? I like Harold Ramirez coming into spring training, coming in hot. He was tearing it up in the Colombian League, out there in the Caribbean series. So, like, a lot of people forget about Harold, and a lot of people are talking about he might be the odd guy out. So we don't know who's going to be the odd guy out, because you know what? Monte has options. You know what I'm saying? Harold doesn't have options. Mags doesn't have options. So it's like, damn, what the hell are Marlins going to do?
Yeah, exactly. I think Monte starts at AAA. That's a solution. He had a clear problem last season. It was only 50 at bats. So, I mean, it's not like a humongous sample size, but he has a clear problem, is that he can't put the bat on the ball. He needs to solve it. We always knew he had this. We always knew he was a hit or miss guy. Let's let him try again in AAA, see if he can get that stroke back and then come back. Then we'll see. I'm not super extremely optimistic that he's going to find it. I mean, but I'm not as low as you're mentioning as well, Tyler. So, I mean, he has every single other tool. You know, at least as we saw, I mean, he was an important piece in the playoffs, just as a you know, pinch runner, end of the game, defensive. I mean, he has all that. He has the arm, he has the fielding, he has his speed, as you said. If he can work on that K rate, which, you know, bring it down to 30, that's an impact guy. It's hard for him to bring it down to 30. I mean, that's not something that's going to be easy to do. That's not something that you can solve easily, but he knows what he has to work on. Yeah.
So he's a defensive substitute that also is a great pinch runner in the extra innings. And he can't hit. Like, it's the one thing, like, if you can't hit the ball does not go in play, which means nothing happens. It is the worst possible outcome possible at an at-bat.
I just feel like you're just jumping. Like I said it before, I'll say it again. I feel like you're just jumping the gun on the boy. Like, it was premature that he played less than a 60-game season. People were coming at Magnerio Sierra, and Magnerio Sierra looked pretty all right last year. And then people were like, damn, look at Mags. He's looking good. Dropped a bunt, Mags. You know what I'm saying? So now that's what you want. You want competition on all these guys. You just got to give them playing time, and let's see what happens. But a 60-game season, way too premature to judge these guys.
I mean, with Monte, you know, what we saw last year, I don't think that's him. You know, again, he's going to strike out, but the crazy amount of strikeouts, that's not him. You know, 2019, his last, you know, minor league season, 808 OPS, 29.9 percent strikeout rate, not 50, not 45. You know, it was 29. I think he can try to get there. I don't think he's a lost cause. Again, as I agree with Alex, he's not a number one guy right now. You know, we have several outfielders before him, you know, on our prospect list. We have JJ, we have Jesus, we have Meisner, Burdick. So he's not one of the top 5-10 guys right now, but I don't think he's the lost cause yet. I mean, that's just a really small sample size.
But if he's not a top five now, then he never will be, because the players that are coming up will just pass him. So it's not, he might not even ever actually truly get a shot. He might just, hey, he comes up, he gets struck out with high fastballs and just call it a day, then gets sent down, then gets traded somewhere where he can actually have an opportunity. And I think that's what's best for Monte Harrison. Honestly, Monte Harrison to the Pirates, I think, would be an excellent addition to that team, and I think he'd be a great fit on it.
There you have it, Tyler Wilson with Pirates Barbecue. Hey, real quick, Danny, what are you thinking about NL East standings?
What I'm thinking about the NL East, I'm thinking, how about we turn this into two divisions? Jesus, I mean, this is crazy. We finally have a great, again, a really cool team, a good team that I tweeted about it earlier. You know, you put us in the Central, we have a shot. You know, we can maybe not win the division. I mean, I'd maybe fight you on it, but we'd be, you know, we could perfectly end up second place in that division. But now we're in the NL East and we're playing against freaking Braves, who you saw them.
The Braves, Mets, and Nats.
Yeah,
the Mets, the Phillies.
The Nats, the Mets, Phillies, who got Realmuto. So every single day, it's the every, you know, one of those four teams is adding someone. Great, you know.
So I'm, I don't know. I don't know about joining the NL Central, but I hope that somewhere along the line that Ken Griffey can convince Rob Manfred that, yo, we just need to put in like something like the NBA format, the best, you know what I'm saying? What is it? The best 16 teams or whatever, you know what I'm saying? And just go from there. So,
yeah, but it's still playing. I mean, if we're playing against the NL East the whole season, you know, more than against any other division, then it's still going to be a problem for us. What I'm hoping is, you know, they bring in the expansion two teams, and they, which they've been talking about, right? They've been talking about one team per league. And they divide, you know, they rearrange the divisions, and we can, you know, we're out of that freaking NL East division. They just do reshuffle them and do two divisions, East and West or whatever.
I love what you're saying. I love what you're saying about expanding teams right now, but like, I feel like it's not going to happen. Like, it's not the moment, right? Like, it's not the time and the place because of the pandemic and shit.
No.
Probably like 3-4 years from now, 5 years from now, something like that, but.
Yeah.
Right now, realistically, we got to live in the present time.
I'm talking future. You know, I'm 100% talking future.
I don't think you want to get out of the NL East.
No?
No, I want to be in the NL East in 2 years. Like, you see, what's coming up in that Mets system? What's coming up in the Philly system? Nationals, what do they got coming up? I want to be in the NL East in 2 years.
The Braves aren't going anywhere. The Mets, you know, they're extending Lindor. I assure you they're extending Lindor.
How'd that do for the Cleveland whenever he was on there last year?
Huh?
How'd he do in Cleveland whenever he was on there, you know? Just kind of like,
You're not high on Lindor.
No, I am, but Lindor was on the Indians last year, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't do it.
I mean, add Lindor. Add Lindor to Conforto, to Pete Alonso, to J.D. Davis, to freaking McCann, the catcher, to all those guys. The what's his name? I don't remember. The first baseman that right now doesn't have a position. He killed it last season.
Downtown Dominic Brown.
You know, add Lindor to that lineup and add him to that rotation. You know, we're getting DeGrom, Carrasco, Syndergaard. Who else? They're not going anywhere the next 5 years. You know, maybe they don't have too much coming up, but they have an owner who is going to be able to invest in whatever free agent. You know, the Mets are a problem. You know, as soon as Cohen bought him, I knew that they were going to be a problem. So more the Braves and the Mets, and two, having two teams there for the next 5 to 10 years, that's a problem. The Phillies, yeah, I'm not scared of the Phillies. And the Nats, no way. They have probably the worst farm system in baseball. But those other two, you know, we're the if you're going to be the third team in that division, it's going to be a problem.
See, I disagree there. I think the Marlins are the second best team in the division in 2 years, because I do think that gives enough time for the talent to develop to the level of the Braves and the Mets. Because I think the Mets, you got to think in 2 years, all their stars are 2 years more aged and no real talent coming up to replace it. I mean, yeah, they'll spend, but will they spend right? Will they spend more effectively? Maybe not. They might make a weigh-in chin kind of deal. Let's all pray for that one. So,
have you seen
the Mets have already? The Mets have already shown that they're cursed. I mean, damn, they can't get nothing right. You already seen what happened. Oh, they got Cohen as the owner, and then you saw everything else that happened.
Yeah. I hope so, man. Did you guys see the comparisons of owner, owner money between the Cohen and the rest? It's like, him and then the second guy, the second richest owner, was like half of his worth. If the Mets suck this year, expect crazy spending next year. It's a solid question. Are they going to spend correctly or not? Hopefully they don't. I'll celebrate each time they don't. I mean, I celebrated this Bauer Dodgers like you can't imagine, as if we had gone Bauer, because adding Bauer to that rotation, that's it.
Yeah. Danny, talk to me about Danny and Tyler. We're going to round this off. We're going to talk about one Marlin that you expect to turn it up this year. Who's one Marlin that you expect to go above average, turn it up, all-star caliber, whatever you think. Go ahead. We start with Tyler Wilson.
Oh, man, this is I'm going to go with the cheat. I'm going to go with Yimi Garcia. That's my all-star. Nice. I think Yimi Garcia is the all-star for the Marlins.
All-star as in he's going to be all-star in holds or saves, or what are you insinuating?
I think he's going to be a great reliever this year. But then he might not be on the Marlins for very long. So Yimi Garcia is going to be my surprise, because I think Sixto and Sandy already have really high expectations. So Yimi Garcia, he had a great – end of the year last year after being pretty much on the sideline the entire time. So that would be my prediction on that, because and honestly, it's really hard for me because I don't think a lot of players are going to exceed expectations this year for me for the Marlins. I'm not high on this roster. I'm high on the pitchers.
Yeah. I'm not going to do anything crazy. It's Brian Anderson, you know, every single year he does better. I think this is the year he breaks out, and it's the year it's going to hurt that we didn't extend him. That's the guy, man. I mean, if he has a healthy season, you'll see the 25 to 30 home runs and in high numbers.
It's hashtag pay BA, pay BA, baby. Please. Come on. Anyway, my guy that I would pick, I touched on it earlier with Tyler, and it's going to be the guy behind the plate and Jorge Alfaro. I want him to freaking find it together at the plate, find it together behind the plate, and just have people going wild all over social media and Marlins Park. Just chant a hip hip Jorge. I just imagine it now, bro.
Yeah, I would love it. I mean, I'm Colombian. You know, my jersey that I bought in 2019 was Alfaro, 38. I love the guy. But he has a similar situation as Monte, right? He knows what he needs to do with the – he's a toolsy guy. He needs to bring those strikeouts down and put the bat on the ball and solve those issues, wacky issues that we saw on the defense last season. You know, that's not him. So hopefully he just at least get back to 2019 level. But, oh, man, that'd be amazing if he cranks it up.
What's a Jorge Alfaro season look like for this year? What's it look like?
17 home runs,
70 RBIs over 273 average.
I'm taking the under on the average for sure.
That'd be amazing. That'd be amazing. It's similar to
he's gonna go on the Mondongo diet, dog. The Mondongo diet.
That would be similar to what he did in 2019, right?
Yeah, I mean, he was just shy of getting to 20 home runs. He would have had it. So, like, I wouldn't be surprised if he did do it. And he just has to get it together and figure it out. I'm more about his offense. Like, I'm more worried about his defense. Like, if he can get it together behind the plate and he can show that he can be the captain and anchor the whole rotation, then we're going to be good.
Yeah. No, if he gets it together, that's – yeah, now we're talking about a different lineup.
Wow. Anything you guys want to add before we dip out of here?
I wish the Marlins would have signed Cesar Hernandez. I hate second base of this team. I really do.
We got Jazz and Eason. It's going to be competitive and fun, and we got John Pretty out there. It's going to be a fun spring training, I think.
It's going to be interesting for sure. I think it's going to be – there's a lot of position battles. So, I mean, it's going to be a lot of fun to follow and talk about.
But dark horse of the season for the rotation, Eliezer Hernandez, Lilo. Y'all heard it here first on the barbecue, baby.
Is he going to be on the Marlins all year?
He's going to be on the Marlins all year. He's going to be turned up, and then we'll talk about it at the end of the next offseason.
I like him. And Mattingly said that he's, he said his three guys that were confirmed for next season were Sandy, Pablo, and Eliezer. He didn't even mention Sixto. I mean, Sixto is probably there as well, but he's high on him. And Eliezer is a guy who right now can give us five amazing innings, but he needs to work on that third pitch because if not, he's predictable in the sixth or seventh inning. If he really wants to step it up.
He was demonstrating it last year, I think so, before he got hurt. He was going punch for punch with Pablo Lopez. If you think about it, his slider was looking nice. His changeup was looking nice. That fastball was on point. You know what I'm saying? It was a shame that he went down. I was kind of bummed out because I had a bet going on with Red Garcia.
What about you guys? No DH.
It's a bummer. It's a damn bummer because at the end of the day, it comes down to freaking money. And, like, we already touched base on this, but, like, it's a bummer for the Marlins because now we got a gap or we got a block at first base between Aggie, Coop,
exactly,
and Lewin Diaz. You know what I'm saying? Kim is preaching about, oh, let's get playing time with the young guys, but, like, what are we going to do with Cooper? What are we going to do with Aggie? We just paid Aggie. You know what I'm saying?
Assuming that there was going to be a DH, yeah.
Yeah, I blame Major League Baseball because that's Rob Manfred's fault. For his lack of communication, he said, "Oh, move forward. Yeah, it's gonna be a DH. No, it's not gonna be a DH. Like, communication was icky, bro. And how do you have icky communication when you're Major League Baseball? Like, I think it's crazy that I touched base on this earlier. Like, they're gonna have opening day, and possibly, like, we don't know if there's gonna be fans in attendance or not. I hope so, but like, how is there not gonna be fans in attendance in spring training? In the meantime, like, I know there's a pandemic, and I don't want to sound ignorant and shit like that, but like." At the Caribbean Series, you saw fans out there. You know what I'm saying? You saw fans at the Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying? So there's going to come a time and a place. Like, Major League Baseball has to figure it out.
What's the starting nine for the Marlins on opening day?
Let's see. Let's go position per position. For right now, it's Alfaro. First base... first base, I'm going Aguilar. Second base, I'm going Eason, Miggy at short, Brian at Anderson at third, Corey, Starling, and I think Harold is going to kill it in spring training. I'm going to say Harold is the right field. It's Harold or Coop. But I'm going to go with Harold. Just change it up. So yeah, that's my nine. Oh, my eight.
Who's the pitcher?
That's it.
The pitcher is Sandy, no doubt. Opening night, yeah, Sandy Alcantara. He's our ace. I loved his attitude playoffs last season. He's like, or right before playoffs. He's like, the Yankees have never seen me, you know, they're going to, they don't know what's going to, you know, I remember exactly what he said. He's like, they don't know what was coming to them or something. I loved him. That's the attitude I want to see. And he did. He lived up to it. You know, he put his money where his mouth is. I loved seeing that.
All right, guys. Well, there you have it, man. Alongside Tyler Wilson, Daniel Del Vivo, thank you for joining us on Marlins Barbecue. Danny, do you want to tell us where our audience can find you at?
Yeah, guys. So first of all, thank you for inviting me. This was amazing. I mean, this is it. This is what you love, right? Talking about the team you're passionate about with two cool guys. So yeah, at Daniel DeVivo at Twitter, you know, it's all baseball all the time. You won't find me talking about the Dolphins or whatever, or the Heat. It's all Marlins.
Thank God. You're going to torture yourself as a Dolphins fan.
No, I'm a soccer baseball guy, but I don't talk too much about soccer on my Twitter. So yeah, it's all baseball. If you don't like baseball, don't follow me.
Tyler Wilson, the king of Buffalo.
Yeah, you can follow me there. I talk about other sports. So if you would have followed me in the beginning of the year, you would have followed my Justin Herbert 16-1 rookie of the year. That one hit. You're welcome if you followed me on that one. But yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at King Buffalo as and we can discuss some Marlins and try and get some hot takes, pour some fuel on the hot takes for the rest of the year.
Love it.
Cool. And for some more exciting content, interesting content, go to fishstripes.com. You can find us on whatever podcast you find us on. What is it? Apple, Spotify, or wherever you guys find that. I'm Alex Contreras, the Real Akon, signing out. Thanks for joining us. Eli, cue that music, baby.